Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Happy Tuesday. So glad to have you listening today. Well, as I mentioned yesterday, all this week we'll be walking through the content of my book, Your Powerful Prayers, as well as the content from the companion DVD. And I want to say a special thanks to my publisher, Bethany House Publishers, for supplying a case of books so that we can give away a handful of books each and every day this week. Today we're going to talk about how to pray when you forget who you are. And that happens when we walk through hard times, when it seems the winds are all against us, the enemy has brought up all his opposition against us, and it's hard to remember that we are heirs of God, that we are joint heirs with Christ, that God's promises are true for us. If that's true for you, you are tuning in on the right day. I'm really praying with all my heart that today's conversation speaks to you specifically. So today we're going to talk about how to pray when you forget who you are. Have you ever forgotten who you are? I mean, that happens when the winds blow, when the storms hit, when maybe people critique you in an unfair way, when you critique yourself, when you've walked through enough unresolved crises that you've just forgotten who you are. Why does that matter? Well, it matters on so many levels, but it really matters in the way that we show up for prayer. Because if we don't believe that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, we'll pray small prayers, we'll pray just get by prayers, we'll relegate prayer to a last resort instead of coming boldly into the presence of God, into the throne room of God. Scripture says we can come boldly and be assured of God's glad welcome, that he's so glad to see us. So what I'm going to do during this hour is just pull from some clips from my DVD that goes with the book, Your Powerful Prayers. I want you to know, thanks to my very generous publisher, this week and every week, we'll be giving away 5 copies each show and a DVD. The DVD is a $30 value. The book's about $14 or $15. So one of you is going to get a book and a DVD, and then 4 more of you will get a book. So this is how we're going to do it. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your powerful prayers somewhere in that email, but make sure you include your name and your mailing address. So here's what we're going to talk about. I have to clear my throat. Sorry about that. I'm going to tell you a story, and maybe you've heard this before, but I'm setting up just a clip from the DVD. In this particular time, and I do refer back to those wilderness years when I was sick and my kids were sick, because that is where my faith was forged. In that place, and maybe you remember this, maybe you don't. So my middle son had a lot of respiratory croup issues, and the nurses taught me how to handle the croup. So I just knew all the tricks in the book. In fact, neighbor ladies would call me when their kids would get croup. Well, one particular time, Lukey got so sick with a respiratory virus that none of my tricks worked. He was 15 months old. He ended up going into the hospital, and his little chest retracted with every breath. It looked like his ribs were caving in with every breath that he took. And he laid there listless. And I just thought, we got him to the hospital. They're going to make it better. This is going to be okay. What I didn't know, and friends and family told me later, some who are nurses and in the medical field, once they visited Luke and left, they sat out in their car and they cried because they said, that little boy's not coming home. And I just remember looking at him when the doctor said his heart won't make it another 24 hours unless we do something different here. And he just was listless. And like I said, looked like his chest was breaking with every breath. Well, he referred Lukey on to a specialist who gave him some medicine and he recovered. But he just had he was just susceptible to respiratory issues. So jump ahead. I got pregnant shortly thereafter, and I'm on bed rest for most of that pregnancy. I deliver Jordan. It's the dead of winter. So Luke at this point is about 22 months old, and RSV was an epidemic at the time. And doctors had said, because you have a little tiny baby and you've got this toddler who's very susceptible to respiratory illness, don't let anybody come visit you who's got a cold. Just put the word out. So we did. But somebody still came, brought their sick child. Within a couple of days, Luke had this respiratory distress issue, just wheezing, his chest was retracting. And the doctors and nurses said, you know, this is an airborne virus and you've got a newborn. I'm going to help you treat him at home and you bring him in if you need to. But they taught us how to, we had a little playpen. We put a blanket over the top. We had a steamer blowing in And they taught me how to do bronchial drainage on his lungs. And then I have a newborn, so I have to keep them apart. We have this little split-entry house. So I would drain Luke's lungs, wash my hands, disinfect my hands, sit in the rocking chair, go feed the baby, disinfect my hands. And I slept in the rocking chair between the two floors, two bedrooms, and went back and forth all day, all night. And all the while, I've got these symptoms going off in my body because at that point, I didn't know I'd been bit by the deer tick, but I had all these neurological fireworks going off. I was so exhausted, I can't even describe to you, just from not sleeping and things going on in my body. Well, one morning I go to get JoJo out of his crib. He's about 4 weeks old, and his little lips are starting to turn blue, and his chest is retracting. And he was getting sick, and I just realized I'm overwhelmed. And so at this point, I called our small group over, and I asked, would you pray? In fact, his lips weren't blue yet. His chest was just starting to rattle. That's the part of the story, because we'll pick it up here. This is a clip from my DVD that takes the story from here. Listen in.
I needed help. Our baby was getting sick. I needed prayer. And I felt like for some reason, God wasn't speaking to me at this time. So I gathered our small group around and I asked them all to come over and to pray around Jordan so that he would get better and that Luke would get better. Luke seemed like he was on the mend, but Jordan was getting sicker. Little JoJo was 4 weeks old at the time, and he sat in his little car seat in the living room. Our friends brought in their guitars and they sang worship songs, and all of them got around and laid their hands on our little baby and they prayed, and I bowed my head and had my hand on that car seat, and I felt the presence of God. It had been so long since I'd felt the presence of God. I just missed him so much, and I wondered what I'd done to chase him away. And I felt like we were on the cusp of a miracle because I sensed God's presence so strongly. They left. I had another one of those up all night kind of nights where I was back and forth between the two kids. And when I got into Jordan's room in the morning, his little lips were turning blue and his little chest was retracting. And so we had to bring him to the hospital. And here I'm carrying my four-week-old. My face is numb, but I'm thinking I'll deal with whatever that is later. And I remember carrying our little baby because they took him from ER and they said, we need to admit him. He had double pneumonia. We walked by the room that Luke had just stayed in like 11 months prior when he was sick in the hospital for a week. And we get him in the crib and they start an IV and they hook him up to all these little tubes. And my husband went to call friends and family to ask them to pray. I was just so exhausted. And I thought we'd experienced something last night. What was that? But I sat in the rocking chair next to the crib, and suddenly it was like a cup of joy was poured over me. I was filled with joy unspeakable. And I had no idea what it was. And I remember writing in my journal, I'm either in the midst of a miracle or I'm losing my mind, but something amazing is happening right now and I will take it, Lord. And JoJo was in the hospital for a week, and then we get him home. And once he recovered, I went downhill, and that's when the Lyme disease thing kicked in for me. Again, didn't know what I'd had at that point, but things got bad, really bad, before they got better. About a year later was when they'd really discovered I had Lyme disease. There was a point where we had a home health care nurse come to our house. They put a shunt in my arm, and they were hooking me up on IV therapy. And she filled my refrigerator with all these bags of IV, and I had the shunt in my arm, and she was telling me how to care for it. And little Jordan, by this time, is a year old. Little Speedy Gonzalez, he runs through the living room in a little diaper, nothing else. And she looks at him and she said, what is he doing alive? I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, we trace back when your symptoms started, and it was during the pregnancy. When you start to have the numb face and the dizziness, and we determined that you were most likely bit during the pregnancy, because that's 2 weeks from your 1 day out, all of your symptoms started to flare. And she said, but I've treated other patients who are bit during their pregnancy, went about a year undiagnosed, much like you. Both of those babies, when they were born, eventually went blind and died within a few months. Why is he still alive? She said, tell me about his health history. As we retraced his history, we got back to the point when he was 4 weeks old and he had double pneumonia. And she said, well, what kind of medicine did they use? And I told her what they used in the IV. And she said, that saved his life. She said, they treated the Lyme disease in him before you even knew you had it. And I literally went to my knees and I opened my hands and I started to cry, and then I praised God and I said to him, I'll never shake my fist at you again, ever. And I haven't. And I realized, I see in part, as the Bible says. I know in part. I was shaking my fist at God. I was saying, why aren't you talking to me? Why are you answering my friend's prayer request for a job schedule change and you won't make my baby better? Why are you so silent? But he wasn't silent. He was answering in a way I couldn't see. He overrode my immediate request so that he could say yes to the greater story in Jordan's life. It was an absolute miracle. Shortly thereafter, I'd open the Word and I stumbled upon a passage that said, I cried out to the Lord in my distress, and he answered by setting me free. That hit me so hard because I think so often we ask for a break. Just get me through this moment. Just give me what I want. Why can't I have what I want? And he's like, you know, I could give you a break, but I want you to have a breakthrough.
I could give you a break, but I want you to have a breakthrough. You know, that was one of those pivotal times in my life where I started to see myself in the bigger story. And maybe you needed to hear that today. He's a good, loving father. He does not tend to us like we are spoiled children. We stomp our fists or stomp our feet. We clench our fists. He doesn't come running when we throw a hissy fit. He's too good of a father for that. But even in spite of us sometimes, when we forget who we are, he never forgets who we are. When we forget what we possess in him, he never forgets. I'm telling you, friend, in that season, I was pounding my fist on his chest going, where are you? Why don't you care about me? And he was responding, I care more than you could possibly know. So if you find yourself pounding on his chest today, shaking your fist at heaven, going, why don't you care about me? I pray that you can see his kind eyes looking at you going, dear one, I care more than you know. I've already made a way for you. I've already been to your future and left provision there. I'm making a way where there is no way. You know what? We forget who we are when we forget who God is. And when we forget who God is, we can't reflect who he is to others who've forgotten who they are. So we're going to talk about that next. I've got 5 copies of my book, Your Powerful Prayers. I'm praying in the name of Jesus that the right people get it at the right time. So email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I bet you're just tired of hearing that email address, right? And give me your name, mailing address, and put Powerful Prayers in that email somewhere. And we'll talk more when we return.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
God is so good. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Spending 6 weeks in a row walking through the content of my new book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. This is week 2, and today we're talking about how to pray when you forget who you are. And I want to tell you, my publisher is kind enough each week to give 5 copies of this book away, as well as a DVD. So one of you will get a book and a DVD. It's a $45 value. I really am praying it gets in the right hands at the right time. So email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember, I can't mail a book to an email address. So I really do need your mailing address, and then put Powerful Prayers in that email as well. Remember back during that time, if you just tuned in, you'll have to go back and see what I'm talking about. But it was during that time with little kids and a disease and blah, blah, blah. And I just could not find my footing to save my life. So I, you know, just was not sleeping. The kids were cranky. I was tripping over things that weren't even there. Have you ever been there where it's just like, man, I couldn't hit my stride. I was running into things. Kids were dropping things. And to make matters worse, I had a speaking event that weekend. And I thought, how in the world can I share God's heart if I can't even find my own footing in this place? And I walked by this mirror and I saw the worst version of myself, just crabby and exhausted and brain fogged. And I just winced. And I'm like, how can you even stand to use me, God? I just couldn't even stand the sight of myself, honestly, because I was just frustrated. I'm wondering, hoping you've been there some point so you know what I'm talking about. But in that place, I got to say, I just had one of those little flutters in my heart, a moment of invitation to believe God for more. And I just remember, thought, I'm going to resist the temptation to loathe myself in this place. I'm going to resist the temptation to cringe at my own weakness. And I'm putting my foot down. And I prayed something like this. Lord, even here, even now, I belong to you. And despite my blurry eyes and my messy hair, I'm still your treasure. I am a spoken for heir of God. And this is true because you say it's true. So I speak it out loud for my own ears to hear. And I choose to believe it until my heart fully knows it. Thank you, Lord, for seeing past my frazzled exterior and for valuing the treasure of my soul. I wrap my arms around your grace. I seek your face in this place, and I will finish this race because you promised to get me safely home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just as I said amen, I felt the inner nudge to open up to 2 Corinthians 4:13. I didn't know what that verse was. And just a caveat, this doesn't happen all the time, but once in a while it does. And so if I get a clear verse, I'm stopping to look it up. And this particular verse is what it said. I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore speak. We have the same spirit of faith as the disciples did. So then I researched a little bit more. And what does it mean to believe and therefore speak? Well, it means to declare, speak out, speak forth, proclaim, tell, utter. So first we dare to believe. We grab God's truth as our very own. And then amidst our own choice to believe, we walk and we talk like it's true. And I'm telling you, faith comes from hearing. And so when your ears hear your mouth say what's true about you, even when it doesn't feel true, well, it just makes all the difference. So I went to that conference to speak. I was exhausted. My eyes were burning. I was still tired, still had bad hair. I just wasn't my best version of myself, but I had a heart of faith. And I remembered that the Bible says, you know, we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels so that we know that the power that comes from our life, it's of God. It's not of us. So I spoke. And I'm telling you, there was a line of women waiting to chat, and we prayed and we talked, and it was awesome. But the one that rocked my world, there was a woman who waited in line, head down, her eyes, you know, her hair just kind of covered her eyes. She had clenched fists. She got to me and she just barely spoke. Her feet were firmly planted and she just guardedly said, "No words. I don't have anything to say." And I just carefully asked, "Well, how about if I give you a hug?" Well, she barely nodded, but that was enough for me. I went in and I wrapped my arms around her and was instantly aware of something the Lord wanted to say to her. And I backed up and I whispered to her, I grabbed her shoulders and I said, a new name. And I looked in her eyes. I said, "I believe the Lord wants to give you a new name." Well, her jaw dropped and she glanced around to see if anybody noticed her. And she squeezes her eyes shut and tears roll down her face. She begins to tremble and shake and her lips quiver. She fights for her words. She didn't move from her spot and she didn't say anything either. And I felt so strongly led to continue, so I did. So I said, whispering under my breath just so she could hear me, "Whatever past labels have been a reproach to you, God is going to remove from you. He is giving you a new name. He's writing a new song on your heart, and he is bringing you into a new land." Okay, so she's still trembling at this point. She suddenly then, though, didn't seem to care who noticed her. She wrapped her arms around me and squeezed the breath right out of me. Then she backed up slightly, but still close enough to share under her breath, and she said this, "I didn't want to come to this conference. I don't relate to these women. I'm going through divorce. My husband, he's in prison for sexually abusing our children. I am still wearing his name, and it has been an utter reproach to me. I was kicked out of the church choir because of his name and his choices. I had a painful childhood, so I don't want to go back to my maiden name. What I want more than anything in the whole world is a new name." Wow. Absolutely stunned by God's grace in both of our lives, I suddenly knew on a deeper level how important it was for me and how important it is for you. It is for us to grasp who we are in Christ. We've got to know who we are in Christ so we can help others know who they are too. And I've just learned, you know, that to the extent that we know this love that Scripture talks about, this unending, unbelievable, otherworldly love of Jesus in a way that's absolutely personal to us, well, we walk and talk and pray and give in the way that God intended for us. I'm wondering, Matt, if we have time to fit this clip in before the bottom of the hour. Here's another clip from the DVD, Your Powerful Prayers, that goes with the book, about when we forget who God is. Let's listen in.
I truly don't think at times we ask too much. I think we ask too little. We ask to be comfortable in our captivity. We want what we want when we want it. But God is after the truth in the innermost being. He's after total freedom because it's in that place where lives are changed, where fruit comes out of our life, where other people are nourished. At some point, we have to get out of the cycle of angst, desperate prayer, answer, celebration. We're good until the next angst comes. Now, that cycle is natural and normal for most of us. But at some point, we have to go on to maturity where we say, you know what? I've been here before. I have angst. I have a desperate cry of my heart. Life is hard. But I have a history with God, and this is what I know to be true about him. Recount your history with God so that you can remember you have a present with God, and it's impossible to please him without faith. So here is a time and a place for you to engage your faith. And if we can believe and know that we only know in part, we only see in part. So even when we cry out for a break, God is after a breakthrough. He wants so much to set us free. He wants to do more than make us comfortable in our uncomfortable moment. He wants to blow the doors off of our captivity so we can walk free. And the sooner we can get to a place where we're not in this vicious cycle of angst, despair, I'm going to pray, I'm happy for a moment until my next trial comes, the sooner we can say, I've been here before, and I'm going to move to the eye of the storm because I know you're good, and you'll come for me, and you will set me free. The sooner we can get there, the more consistently we can pray powerfully. I think we forget who we are when we forget who God is. So the more consistently we can remind ourselves who God is, will we more consistently remember who it is that we are. Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11 says this, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. So to unpack that verse a little bit, the word know translates intimacy and experience and understand on a deeper level. I want to know and experience and understand Christ on a deeper level. To experience his power is once again the word dunamis, where we get that explosive power. So I want to intimately understand and experience Christ and walk in that otherworldly power. And then Paul says, I want to suffer with him. Again, we don't hear too many sermons about wanting to suffer. Nobody really wants to suffer. In fact, we avoid suffering at all costs. Yet Jesus did say, as we walk this earth, we will suffer. But to suffer with him, to know Jesus has experienced everything that we experience, and to walk intimately with him, to bear burdens, to be misunderstood, to bear the affliction of others' evil critiques, and to be in the receiving hand of choices of people who have no fear of God. To suffer in that place is to know the resurrection power that Jesus offered and won for us. When you wrap that verse up, it can be unpacked this way. I want to intimately and profoundly know Jesus in increasing measures, that I may deeply comprehend his ways, grasp his heart, and discern his voice. I want to know him experientially. I want to walk in and be acquainted with his divine, explosive power, that I may triumph in battle, persevere in prayer, and overcome my obstacles. I want all of my self-life to die, every shred of my fleshly tendency to burn away. I'm no longer afraid to suffer because I know Christ. He will never leave me, never forsake me, and never forget about me. Even my trials will serve me well in the end if I dare to be trained by them. Only those who've known heartbreak will appreciate the breakthrough. Only those who've carried a burden will know what it's like to have it lifted from their shoulders. They will thoroughly know Jesus as the great burden bearer. And only those who've known death in Christ will know the power of his resurrection in their lives. I want to know Jesus like I've never known him before.
I think I know this about you. You want that too. Taking a short break here. I'd love to get your name in on the drawing. Again, so thankful to Bethany House for offering 5 copies to get into your hands. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Name, mailing address. Love to have you listening. More when we return.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise. You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Really, really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to be talking to you today about my new book, Your Powerful Prayers. My bosses are always so great about letting me devote 6 weeks in a row, I should say, to content from when I release a new book. So we are on week 2, and today we're talking about how to pray when you forget who you are. And the thing is, if we're not convinced that we are the object of God's affection, if we're not convinced that he sings over us and loves us, that he's glad to see us, prayer will be a last resort. You know, we're drawn to those who love us and who see the best in us, at least the healthy side of us is. And God loves us, and he wants to do life with us, and he wants us to ask for his blessing and his intervention. So here are a few questions for you to consider as we unpack the rest of this content. Pray that you can answer them to yourself honestly, right? What unfulfilled longing is in your heart right now? Now, I want you to think about this, because how often do we live with unfulfilled longings, thinking God doesn't want to hear, and if I pray, it probably won't happen anyway? What unfulfilled longing is in your heart right now? And then what are the most consistent kinds of prayers that you've prayed around this situation? Are they faith-filled? Are they begging, pleading? Are they just more lamenting? And there's a place for that. But do you ever find yourself getting to the top of your circumstance where you pray with expectancy? What do you sense God is saying to you in this season? You know, maybe it's rest. Maybe it's run. Maybe it's obey. Take that next step. Maybe it's rise up and engage your faith and march around your house and say, devil, I'm not putting up with this anymore. In the name of Jesus, you are under my feet. I reject fear. I reject anxiety. Father, I embrace faith. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to do your will. I am telling you what, there are so many times in my life where I've sat in the valley when I'm supposed to be marching through the valley, and I sit down, I cover my head, and I just, you know, and there's a place, again, for lament. But you know what? There's a point where when we coddle our fears more than we cling to the promises of God, well, that very action is disobedience. There's a point when we start to grumble and gripe. You know, it's one thing to grieve, but when you start to grumble and gripe, I'd say every single time we are out of the will of God, because there's no place for grumbling. I've been reading through Old Testament, and it's just like I can picture God in heaven rubbing his temples every time the Israelites grumbled, because we have the promises of God written over our lives. There's never a place for us to grumble. And the thing is, when we get to that place, it's not even good for our soul. It's like eating poison. So if you're in a place where you're just, I get it, being just tired of the battle, it might be a time for worship. It might be a time to open up your journal or a notebook and write down the things for which you're just deeply grateful. I want you to envision at this point the angst in your heart turning into a passion in your soul. Now, a passion not only for your story, but for the many who struggle like you do. Suddenly pulling yourself out of the smaller story, rejecting self-pity to say, Lord, you have me here for a reason. I'm walking through the valley. I'm not camping here, not living here, not dying here. You have me here for a reason, but I am not alone. You're with me. And I know many others are dealing with a lot of the same stuff that I am. Give me a God-sized passion to pray not only for myself, my circumstances, but for the many who struggle like I do. Also, give me a God-sized vision for my life, one that makes my knees quake, that I can't even imagine happening unless you intervene, Lord. I want you to picture yourself even right now, rolling your cares off of your shoulders and into God's hands. You know that He's bigger than your hurts and your fears and your hopes and your dreams. I want you to renew your perspective, because this is what's true. Nobody cares for your heart, your soul, or your story like God does. He never forgets about you. He never looks the other way. He never ceases to love you, even when you and even when I, even when we're unlovable. But it's us, you know. Far too often, we're the ones who forget who we are. We derive our joy and our perspective and our sense of value from our behavior and our performance. And sometimes we just forget that we belong to Jesus. We forget that we lack no good thing. It slips our mind that we're rich in every way so we can be generous on every occasion. And in spite of all of our sleepless nights and our crabby days and our broken hearts and the wounds we endure at the hands of others, we must not forget this important, immovable truth. We are heirs of God, children of God, deeply loved and profoundly cared for. And when we catch our messy selves praying and pleading from underneath our circumstances, you know what? It's just a good time to remind our souls of God's love. To know this love is to be filled with the fullness of God. Here's what's true. You're not in Christ. You're not a slightly improved version of yourself. You're something altogether new, redeemed, powerful, and blessed. And Jesus invites you into his inner court to talk with him, to tell him what you need, to share the concerns of your heart. And you can rest assured, as I said, he's always glad to see you. So don't race through the life moments forgetting who you are. In fact, error amnesia will not only deprive you of the thriving life to which your soul is heir, it'll keep you from spilling life into those around you who desperately need to know the Father and how he feels about them. You have access to that inner throne room for a purpose, to walk intimately with a loving, living God and to reflect his love to a world so in need. I want to share another clip from my DVD, Your Powerful Prayers, and this is a Mark Batterson story that just bears repeating. Listen in.
I got to read a story from one of my favorite devotionals, Draw the Circle by Mark Batterson. Wait till you hear this story. Mark Batterson writes, a few years ago, I heard author Ken Gobb share one of the most amazing prayer testimonies I've ever heard. He and his family were driving on I-75 near Dayton, Ohio, when they decided to stop at a restaurant. Ken's wife and children went right into the restaurant while he stretched his legs. As he walked past a nearby gas station, He heard a payphone ringing. The phone kept ringing, and Ken thought it might be some sort of emergency, so he answered it. He heard the voice of an operator who said, "Long-distance call for Ken Gobb." Ken almost passed out. He said, "You've got to be kidding me. I was just walking in the middle of nowhere and heard this phone ringing." The confused operator said, "Is Ken Gobb there?" After making sure there weren't any candid cameras, he said, "This is Ken Gobb." A voice on the other side of the line said, "Ken Gobb, Mr. Gobb, my name is Millie. I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You don't know me, but I need your help." She went on to explain that she had just written a suicide note, but had decided to give prayer one more shot. She said, "God, I really don't want to do this," as she prayed. She remembered seeing Ken Gobb on television. She thought to herself, "If I could just talk with him, he could help me." But this was pre-Google, making it extremely difficult to track him down. As she prayed, some numbers popped into her head, and she wrote them on a piece of paper. She couldn't help but think, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if God were giving me Ken's number?" Then Millie said, "I decided to try calling the number, and I couldn't believe it when the operator said it was you." Millie asked Ken, "Are you in your office?" When Ken said no, Millie sounded surprised, and she said, "Well, then where are you?" And Ken said, "You made the call, don't you know?" She said, "I don't even know what area I'm calling. I just dialed the number on the piece of paper." Ken said, "You won't believe this. I'm at a phone booth in Dayton, Ohio." Millie replied, "What are you doing there?" Ken said, "Answering a payphone." Ken went on to draw this conclusion. "I walked away from that phone booth with an electrifying sense of our Heavenly Father's concern for each of his children." What were the astronomical odds of this happening? With all of the millions of phones and innumerable combinations of numbers, only an all-knowing God could have caused that woman to dial that number in that phone booth at that moment in time. When Ken hung up the phone, he walked over to the restaurant, sat down with his family, still stunned. He said to his wife, Barb, "You won't believe this, but God knows where I am." Isn't that fantastic? It matters that we walk in faith. It matters that we remember who we are and whose we are, even when we don't feel in agreement with who we are, even when we feel out of sorts or we've waited too long for the answer. This is when our faith especially matters. If you have to pause today and remember who you are, do it. Stop, make time and space, and remember who you are. In fact, I have a question for you. When was the last time you pondered God's great affection for you? Have you ever done that, where you stopped and just let yourself think about that God is fond of you, that he loves how he made you, he loves your sense of humor, he made you with certain tastes? Maybe you're an extrovert and you love people and you come alive in a crowd, or you're more like me, you're an introvert and you thrive in solitude. He made you that way. Have you ever come to a point where you've decided, he made me for a particular purpose? In fact, he doesn't make junk. He makes masterpieces, and he intends to use me. There's a reason I'm living and breathing on the earth for such a time as this. So even in those times in between, especially in those times in between when I'm not getting what I want, God is still good. His promises are still true. And I know this. He will make a way for me. He will, because he's faithful.
That's a clip from the DVD, Your Powerful Prayers. And I want you to hear this before we go to break, and it's from the book, and here it is. When faith makes its way into our ears, it also finds its way into our hearts. In my experience, when my ears hear my mouth say truths that God has reflected in his word, I'm changed, I'm strengthened. And I remember once again that I'm not who I was, I'm not what I do, I'm someone God loves and enjoys. And as we go through life, we'll walk through storms that smash against us. We'll try to find our footing amidst the pelting rain and the whipping winds. And sometimes those storms are of our own making. Sometimes they're the natural elements of a fallen world. And sometimes we're turned upside down in a storm that had nothing to do with us and everything to do with someone else's rotten choices. Well, no matter the reason for the storm, at times we'll find ourselves responding in ways that are beneath us. We'll say things we wish we hadn't. We'll be forced to reckon with our humanity and with our very real need for a Savior. Well, praise God, we have one. During such times, it helps if we remind our souls that we love because God loved us first. We can walk in his promises, not because we're perfect, but because he is. We can enjoy his presence because he is the one who invited us there in the first place. We can and we will be used greatly by God because he knew all along about our frailties, long before we were even aware of them, and he planned ahead of time to redeem us from them. To the degree that we admit our desperate need for more of Jesus, will we encounter and experience more of him? But here, this is true also. This dark, devastating secret always comes to play. The enemy loves nothing more than to see us sulk in our humanity. But thankfully, Jesus, our Heavenly Father, loves nothing more than to see us soar because of his promise of eternity. Don't you want to be more like him? I do. When we walk in his promises, we can do so not because we're perfect, but because he is. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about what it means to walk in the truth that God is faithful. His promises are true, even when they don't feel true. Your prayers matter. God invites you into a heavenly dialogue. I want you to imagine when you remember who you are and you rise up and you pray from that place and you engage your faith, I want you to picture in the heavenly realm, God sending angels to your charge, the atmosphere changing because a saint on earth prayed. Is it any wonder why that enemy doesn't want you to pray or is wanting to convince you your prayers don't matter? Because they do. Your prayers matter. In fact, your prayers are powerful. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com, name, mailing address, and we will be back in a moment.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Live the Promise.
Living on the edge of heaven, clinging to your holy presence, we're longing to be where you are. How long it
lasts. Something gets healed in us when we trust God's love. Something comes alive in us when, amidst the pain we endure, we still believe that God is good. Something is mobilized in us when we understand that he's wired us to partner with him in a way that fits who we are. Jesus didn't save us so he can have millions of slaves at his service all running hard in the same direction, looking exactly alike, all doing the same thing. If we are in Christ, we're no longer slaves. Listen, we are sons and daughters. He grants us an elevated status, even above the angels. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored and blessed to be walking through some of the content of my book, Your Powerful Prayers. This is week two. We'll be doing 6 weeks of this. Today, we've been talking about how to pray when you forget who you are. Man, if there's one takeaway, if even one of you comes out of this show today going, I'm going to do a reset, and I'm going to remind my soul today. In fact, I'm not going to rest. I'm not putting my head on that pillow until I remind my soul who I am. And once you remind your soul and you reset, I want you to pray about the desires of your heart from that place and see if some faith does not rise up within you. I mean, our best work is going to be done on our knees. Our best and most profound and most fruit will come out of our lives through that intimate connection of prayer, and especially prayer that comes out of a place where we remember our heir status. I'm so grateful to my publisher for offering us every single week to give away 5 copies of the book, Your Powerful Prayers, Reaching the Heart of God with a Bold and Humble Faith. This is my 11th book, and it feels like my most important book, honestly. I'm not even sure if I'm going to write more books after that. I don't know if my publisher's listening, but I just don't know. I'm waiting on the Lord. But if this was the last one, this would be the last one. I mean, I love this book. They've given me 5 copies to give to you today, and one of you will get a book and a DVD, and I love the DVD, too. I'm super happy with how it turned out. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I want to play another clip, if I can, this last one from the DVD. It's all about God's faithfulness, about us believing for a breakthrough.
1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." If you're in a season where you've lost your expectancy, you've lost a sense of wonder and mystery of following God, thinking any day now he could break through, I challenge you to turn your just get by prayer into a prayer of bold and audacious faith. Start to envision what the breakthrough might look like. In fact, that's your assignment this week, to write a song or a declaration of breakthrough, where you're determining once again to believe that God is faithful. He is on his throne. His promises are as true as they've ever been. And if you keep trusting in his love and relying on his grace and walking forward in faith, in due season, you will see him break through in ways above and beyond all you could ever dare to ask or think. Here's a powerful word from Lisa Whittle. This is the glory of traveling with the life, how he breathes vitality in dead spaces and offers his marvelous illuminating light in places that are dark. And when we're in those dark places, we want God in big heaps and not small portions, because pain doesn't ever truly get better without him. The more we have of him, the more we survive and even thrive, the more beauty we extract from life.
So each of these weeks, I've picked a song that goes with what we're talking about today. And this song called Closer by Life Worship, it will just minister to you. I really believe it. I pray if you're driving, sitting in your home, in your cubicle at work, take some deep breaths, listen to this song. God sees you. He loves you. And I will be back to pray here in a moment. Song amazing. One of the reasons I play a worship song at the end of each of these sessions with your powerful prayers is because my mentor says the best battle cry, the best battle work is in worship. We worship our King, that enemy scatters. I want to leave you with a blessing and a prayer from the book, Your Powerful Prayers, and here it is. As you walk through your everyday life, dare to scoot a little closer to Jesus. Cup your ear, listen to what he has to say to you. He loves you, he cherishes you, he has hopes for you, he wants to heal you, restore you, and renew you. His truth will set you free. His power will part the waters. His love will heal your soul. His heart for you will make you whole. Lean in today. Listen for his voice, his gentle, powerful, redemptive, life-giving voice. Oh, how he loves you. May you dare to believe who you can be because of him. And I pray you have a blessed and beautiful day. Dear Father, I believe. Forgive my unbelief. I want to walk in your presence as I live here on earth. Help me to better know and understand your love and increase my capacity to grasp your goodness. Reveal to me the parts of your character that I don't fully understand yet. I want to live full and free, abounding in love, full of expectant hope. I want to pray with a heart that knows you're good and that your promises are true. Seep those truths deep into my soul. Awaken fresh purpose and passion in me and teach me how to speak life into every person and situation I encounter. You brought life to me. Release fresh revelation through me. I want others to experience the love you've so freely given me. You've established me in love. Help me to walk and talk and live and give like it's true. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Thank you for your emails and your encouragement. I pray the right people at the right time get the book and you're reading the right page at the right time. I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.